I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. Kevin Sheehan Show here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, next hour, Scott Abraham is going to be with us from Channel 7. He spoke with Ron Rivera the other day. They had a long interview. It's up on the website, on WJLA's website in the sports section. And among the many topics hit are the head coach skipping the Senior Bowl. And it's kind of interesting. Is it important? I don't know at this point, but he's not going to be there. Obviously, a lot of the big quarterbacks are going to be there. He says he wants to be able to interview them in different settings. I would imagine that would be, you know, when they do their visits, you know, at the team's facility and those kind of things. And at that point, it will have a name, the Commander's Park or whatever, Admiral's Park, Red Hogs Park. Anyway, so he did a lot of things with Scott. We'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour, what Scott took away from all that. But the Senior Bowl thing is fascinating, because at one point said that that is why he was going to skip the 2-2-2-2-2 thing. Is it? No, it's 2-2-2-2 ceremony or unveiling, I should say. Now he's going to do that virtually. He'll be some part of that unveiling. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what changed there. Or why? I guess he's got his father's birthday or something like that. And might just do some family time. Maybe they just said, you know what, Ryan, you know, you can do this stuff later. You don't have to be here. And it is interesting from the standpoint that obviously he's the decider, right? I mean, he's the guy who has final, you know, has final say. But maybe it is a tip of the, you know, trust to the, you know, to his guys, that they'll be able to handle it without him, and he'll come in and get the reports. You can watch all the practices, the videos available and all that stuff, and, you know, do the interviews later. And obviously the combine is part of that. And then there's, again, the in-person visits of facilities. Hopefully they'll have those this year. I don't know. See where we are with good old COVID at that point. But it is kind of a change, though. There's no doubt. It's a reversal. Now, here's what would have me concerned. If suddenly, you know, they were to say he's not going to be at the Indianapolis Combine or the NFL Combine as it is now, and say something about a grandmother's funeral, you know, obviously that's a Scott McLuhan reference for those of you that don't know. That was obviously kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, that was crazy. So anyhow, yeah, so look, I don't think a guy who's on his way out would spend 18 minutes talking to Scott Abraham yesterday either, so I'm not suggesting anything crazy. So, but it is a change of where they were just a few weeks ago. So, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if it's a big deal, no deal, somewhat of a deal. Is it just like, all right, I've done everything I can here? I mean, I think we all can agree, excuse me, whether you think Ron Rivera has done a magnificent job or could do better, or you never liked him in the first place, wish he wasn't the head coach, whatever your position may be, or you absolutely love him. No coach, since they've taken a job, you know, in his case, 2 years ago, has had to deal with more stuff that a head coach shouldn't have to deal with. I mean, I think hands down, he has inherited a lot of stuff. You say, well, hey, Scott, he knew what he was getting into when he got, hey, he didn't know everything. No. He was introduced as the head coach, the new head coach of the Washington Redskins. He wasn't introduced as the head coach of the named team to be named later, for starters. That's just one little item. I'm not even talking about the off-the-field stuff, okay? The other off-the-field stuff that he's had to deal with, okay? And then the whole personal issue, obviously, with dealing with cancer. So, I mean, he's dealt with a lot. So if he wanted to, like, just check out for a couple weeks, I'd be okay with that. I don't have a problem with that. But because of the position and kind of how he has been the face, the voice of the franchise, I mean, everybody saw the, you know, press conference a few weeks ago with Martin Mayhew and with the coach. I mean, most of the questions are directed towards him. Maybe shame on the media. Maybe we could blame the media for that. I don't know. But, it, you know, he was the biggest voice in the room. And, well, you know, it appears to be that way. Maybe this is their way of, hey, you know, Martin Mayhew's been doing a lot of this work. Let's get him out there and let him do his thing. Because he's been the one watching these guys. Like, yeah, that's true. I mean, the scouts, the scouting department, the front office guys, they're the ones that have been out here watching college games, been on the road, gotten the reports from schools and whoever they can talk to, right? Those are the guys that really had the most knowledge of it. He's just getting caught up. I remember, like, you know, we'll take Mike Shanahan. We'll go back to the time machine here because I know Mike Shanahan's a favorite of this show. He's the official former coach of this program. But anyway, so, you know, Shanahan used to say he asked the scouts to give him, like the highlight clips. That's how he scouted. Yeah. That's what the 2011 draft worked out so well. Anyway, you know, so that's how he did it. You know, and again, just because he breaks ties doesn't mean he has the most knowledge of the players, you know, that are in the draft or has the best eye for it necessarily either. I mean, he wants to get to know the guys on a personal level. That's what he's been talking about. And this, he talks about Scott Abraham in this video, this Zoom interview that he did the other day, which I thought was fascinating. I get it, because, I mean, that's kind of like how they in Carolina knew Cam Newton was a guy besides a tape and everything, but they wanted to get past all this stuff. There was a lot of crap, you know, remember Cam and his dad, and dad was trying to get money from Mississippi State, and maybe he did. Smoot swears it happened. and you know, and of course, he ended up going to Auburn, and, you know, a whole year will this guy be eligible? Here's all I knew about Cam Newton coming out of college. Every week there was a story about he was going to be suspended at any moment or be ineligible, and all the dude did was perform on the field week in and week out. So, like, for me, I was not a scout nor playing one on the radio. Maybe playing one on the radio. But I was like, I'd take this guy. I mean, he's dealt with all this stuff, and he's still come out and kicked ass and taken names every single week. So, again, it is a reversal, a 180, if you will, in what we had heard was going to be the plan. So it's always, and again, it's the football team. So it's always going to be a huge, huge reaction. But again, until they tell me he's not at the Indianapolis Combine, I will save my panic until then. But it is, like I said, it's fascinating. Maybe he just needs time. Maybe he needs time off. I mean, it happens to all of us, man. It's been exhausting. I mean, it's been exhausting to watch. Could you imagine being in it every day? Seriously, could you imagine being in it every day? And I know we don't, you know, we're like, you think these guys are robots. Ah, who cares? It makes a lot of money. Eh. Even people that make a lot of money get tired, okay, and need time out. And, you know, I don't know the situation. Maybe there's a health situation with his father. I, you know, again, stuff that, quite frankly, is not my business, you know. Some tweets. Anthony says, I thought Kevin Sheehan was adopted by Mike Shanahan. Well, I used to call him Kevin Shanahan all the time. Mike had two sons, Kyle and Kevin. Yeah, I mean, we did that joke for a while. Still do. I still love his dedication to Mike. And Mike's good on the radio, don't get me wrong. I think Mike's great. You know, I just was in the weird position to do the Mike Shanahan radio show. We did it on Inside the Locker Room many years ago. And when he was just flat out lying for 3 weeks, you know, I mean, he was lying for 4 seasons, but like really lying, like just BS out the mouth every minute on the air. And, you know, he was like, hey, man, we're playing Kirk to protect Robert because, you know, we're going to trade Kirk and get a first and a third this offseason for him. And I'm like, Coach, shut up. What are you talking about? You bench Robert because you don't like him. You do it for his protection. You don't think he can play. That's fine. Whatever. But it was wild, man. It was wild. And I'm so happy, you know, some of these dummies are revisiting the, well, how the hell did they let LaFleur and Shanahan and McVay get out of that building? Well, first of all, Shanahan's dad took a stick of dynamite and blew the place up on the way out. Okay, so they weren't going to leave his son here. Okay, number one, LaFleur, nobody knew what the hell he was at that point. Nobody knew what he was, okay? And he bounced around for a while after that. And as far as McVay goes, he actually stayed here. And they gave him an actual, you know, promotion. They made him the offensive coordinator. I mean, Gruden really gets hosed on this one. And Jay, you know, he doesn't, he likes to play the dummy and, you know, and all that stuff. And look, there's some evidence as to why. But, you know, he said, hey, look, you know, we did hire him first in the, was it that UFL thing? And he was working for his brother as well. Talking about Sean, that is. And McVay also had deep ties, and people hate to hear this. The biggest, one of the biggest Sean McVay advocates was Bruce Allen, by the way. So, I know you don't want to hear that, but it's true. And Jay, too. And obviously, Jay gave him the play sheet and let him call plays. Worked out pretty good for Sean. Now, for anybody, even the most optimistic of Sean McVay fans, to think that he would be doing what he's doing now, I mean, you know, good for you. Because you should be... You should be playing the lottery numbers as well if you could foresee all that fun. So, anyway. So, getting back to the Senior Bowl, we'll get more with that. Next hour with Scott Abraham from ABC7, WJLA. Did he find that to be interesting or important that Ron Rivera is passing on the Senior Bowl? And, you know, again, people do change their mind and change their plans. Now, he seems very regimented, so I can understand why people would be shocked that he would, you know, I guess, pivot in this case to a different plan. And as I said, until we get to the point where they're, you know, sending out a release that, hey, the coach is going to skip the combine, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, freaking out and send help flags at that point. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Flare, yeah. Yeah, it's not a flag. It's we shoot flares off. Anyway, like the Shimpy sinking, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't think we're there. All right, Mike McCarthy had a lot of things to say yesterday about, yes, the last play. And Troy Aikman had a few things to say about the overall attack of the Cowboys and Kellen Moore, who's up for everybody's coaching vacancy. At least he's getting interviews. We'll get to that straight ahead. Scott Jackson in here. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Hey, welcome back. Team 980, Kevin Sheehan Show, the Odyssey app. Scott Jackson in for Kevin today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. He's doing meteorology work today, helping the school systems, the counties, close downs, you know, all those kind of things, early closings, delays, all of it. He's part of the brain trust that does that, as you all probably know by now. He's a weather guy, in addition to being a sports guru. All right, we got into the Ron Rivera stuff. We'll get back to a lot of the things the coach had to say with Scott Abraham. We talked to Scott himself at 8 o'clock. Hopefully Scott's alarm goes off. Maybe he has two set. So we'll get to that coming up at 8. One other real quick theory, and I'll mention this with Scott and 8, but in case you're getting out of your car, you're sludging to work. You know, the other thing here that could be in play is Washington has no interest in actually drafting a quarterback. That's why the coach isn't going. Or... This is a smokescreen to make you think they're not interested in drafting a quarterback. Anyway, he talks about the avenues to QB1 with Scott in this interview, if you haven't checked it out yet. And we'll get into that again at the top of the hour. But all right, let's get to more fun things. The demise of the Cowboys last weekend, the choke at home. Mike McCarthy said a lot of interesting things yesterday, none of which made Cowboy fans probably feel better about him in charge, but one of the things we said he felt during the team prayer, the group is very nervous. Well, Mike, come on. dude, look around the room. Yeah, I would imagine God makes a lot of those guys nervous. But anyway, beside the point, they, you know, still insist their process, their plan was correct. I don't, again, hate that Dak Prescott ran. I hate the fact that he didn't slide about 3 seconds earlier, that he didn't hand the football to the ref. Mike McCarthy continues to insist he didn't have to, and the center can do that. But the problem is your center can't, you know, then mark the ball a yard and a half past the spot where it should be, which is what he did. Then they had to move it back slightly. And again, the guy's not going to get to the ball if he's got to go through people. That's why Dak's got to find him and hand it to him. This, you know, get every quarterback that ever played the position in the NFL that has discussed this since it's happened. Nobody's defended Dallas to say, oh, yeah, they got screwed because, you know, they did the process correct. Nobody has said that. They've all said, dude, you got to hand the ball to the ref, and you also got to get yourself down quicker. And I get it. You know, shots from inside the 30 or, you know, inside the 25 in this case, much greater outcome or possibility because you can have a timing play, right? You can throw underneath the end. You don't have to throw it exactly in the end zone. You get somebody to move. We've seen that tricky Kellen Moore with those throwback plays. You know, so those things could have worked, right? The 49ers, you know, can't necessarily just park it in the end zone with 11 guys and, all right, come get us. From the 20, you know, 4, 25 or wherever you could have gone down, you know, they can't necessarily do that. So I get that part of it for the one shot. Then there's obviously always the possibility the play gets, you know, a PI on it and there's an extension to the play and you get the extra untying down, all that stuff. That's fine. It's a much better percentage, no question, from the Hail Mary from the 40 plus. Agreed. However, the execution's bad. You know, that was part of it. The other thing that I always is kind of lost, and you know, you lose things in the game. Remember that tricky fake punt they did, which was a great play. It worked. But then they kept the special teams out of the field to try to trick up the Niners, and the Niners just looked at them like, are you flipping kidding me? We're not scared of your punter running an offensive play. So they had to burn, you know, they had to lose time there, and they took a delay a game. So, you know, those little things start to add up when you're like, wow, if we could only had like another second or two to get one more playoff. So anyhow, again, process, lack of discipline. McCarthy did say, hey, this is kind of a point of emphasis next year. We're going to try to stop making penalties. One of my Cowboy friends pointed out to me, they have been a highly penalized team for quite some time. Matter of fact, and this probably just destroys Jerry Jones' soul, the last time they were, you know, one of the better teams in terms of discipline, there was a guy in little, really like tight hair that didn't move in the wind. Jimmy Johnson was the head coach. Yeah, Jimmy Johnson. You know what was different when Jimmy Johnson was the head coach? The owner wasn't nearly as involved. But that wasn't fun, right? That wasn't fun for him. So he had to be more involved. He's been more involved ever since Jimmy's been out of there. The hit rate hasn't been nearly as high either, interestingly enough. And we're all thankful for that. All right, Troy Aikman on Kellen Moore and the Cowboys game plan. You know, on top of all the other things that happened besides the last play, their offense was not very good on Sunday. Dak Prescott was probably at his worst until the fourth quarter that we've seen all year. And he's had a pretty good year, needless to say. And here was Troy Aikman's thoughts on the way they went about attacking the 49ers.
San Francisco rushed four guys for the most part. They blitzed occasionally, but they're a four-man rush football team. But a lot of times when you say that, then you think, oh, well, they're playing coverage. Well, they mixed in some coverage, but there was a lot of single coverage on CeeDee Lamb. And I would tell you, it was back when I was playing, and I hate going back to that point because nobody cares, but what I see around the leagues, not just Dallas, it was in Philadelphia, I've seen it with a lot of teams, that a lot of these offenses, they want to scheme things. The coordinators just, it's all about scheme. Rather than this corner is playing soft, he's scared to death, just run the route tree. Just run a comeback. Run a dig route. Run a curl. Run anything. And you're going to complete the pass whenever you want. And Urban would have had 10 catches at halftime if they had played us the way that they played CeeDee Lamb in that game. The game's not that difficult. If I've got a great player at wide receiver and a corner is playing him single coverage, throw him the ball.
There you go. That was Troy Aikman on 96.7 The Ticket in Dallas yesterday. And a fair point. And he, by the way, he made this exact same point. He said, I saw it in the Philadelphia game. He made this exact point in the first half of the Eagles-Bucks game in regards to Devontae Smith and why the Eagles weren't getting him the ball, and saying how the Bucks were playing him and why he was surprised that they didn't, like he said, just run anything, you know, run shorter routes, run slants, run anything in the route tree. And, you know, you could make that happen. But they didn't. The other fascinating thing, and maybe frustrating thing if you're a Cowboys fan, is hearing, you know, the story that Mike McCarthy relayed. And I think everybody knew this, that Ezekiel Elliott has been injured. I mean, I don't think that's breaking news by any means, right? I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's been injured. But he said he actually tore his PCL in week 4 against the Panthers, which is wild, right? A torn PCL, that's a significant injury. Now, I don't know if he got the timing wrong or if that's the case or not, but nonetheless, the next week he had 21 carries for 110 yards in a touchdown against the Giants, talking about Zeke. And then as you go throughout the season, you know, he still had, you know, a pretty heavy workload. So I'm not sure if it happened then. I tend to believe it happened after that. But maybe he's, now again, he should know. He's the head coach, but as we know, he's proven not always to be the most accurate person. But anyhow, that's the other fascinating part of this game, you know, how Ezekiel Elliott out-touched Pollard. And I understand having him on the field. He's a hell of a blocker. I mean, seriously, he's a really, in pass pro, he's very good. He sells out for a guy who's a star and makes a lot of money or gets paid like a star. He's not a star anymore. I mean, yeah, he's got a star on a helmet, but he's not a star anymore. I mean, he's not even close to what he used to be. I mean, I think we can all understand that. The dead cap money for him, oh my God, forget it. Forget it. You'd have to ask him to retire, beg him to retire, and pay him under the table like the 49ers used to. Yeah, there's just, you're screwed. I mean, the dead cap money, you can't cut him. So they're in a weird spot, right? Like, his Pollard's clearly better. They got him for one more year. He's the guy. You know, they think Zeke will be completely healthy next year, but we'll see if he has that burst. I mean, you know, he had a big game against Carolina. I mean, his start of the season, you know, Tampa's got a good run D, wasn't the best. Pretty good game against the Chargers. You know, against Philly in week 2, he was really good. He was just shy of 100 and a couple TDs. And if he got hurt in that Carolina game where he had 143 and a TD, okay, maybe you could talk me into it. I mean, up to that point, he was having a good season, right? At the Giants game, 110, you know, and 21 carries and a TD. Then after that, there's no more 100-yard games. The closest thing he got to was 87 against the Eagles in week 18. Obviously, 12 for 31 yards here against the 49ers, and he wasn't much in the passing game, really, as the year went on. But Pollard was clearly the home run hitter. Pollard was the guy you were scared about, and the fact that he didn't get many touches is also pretty baffling. In this game. I mean, we can all, if you want to believe their alternative, you know, explanation for that last play, so be it. But there's just some many, many other things that just don't make sense from that game beyond the fact that they were scared during the team prayer.
Yeah.
They were nervous.
I think you can at least understand why CeeDee Lamb wasn't getting targeted a lot, because it seems like he's better in the slot. Mm-hmm. But not getting Tony Pollard more touches was just bizarre.
Yeah, it is bizarre. And, you know, McCarthy, you know, he seems to be safe. I mean, and if I was Dallas, the guy, I wouldn't be worried about Kellen Moore. I mean, I really, honestly, he is not like one of these Sean McVay's friends, like geniuses in offense. Okay. He's not. This is not, I mean, Aikman told you that without telling you that. Okay. And he's right. I mean, he's right. I mean, I know a lot of people hate Aikman, you know, because he was a Cowboy, blah, 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 and he's been on TV too long, so you eventually get hated. People just, you know, this is just the way we are. But look, he is 100% right about that. And about the scheme thing and about guys being stuck on team, he's right. But I'll say this, and look, I think the Dan Quinn one-year cleanse is fascinating to me. I mean, he was fired as a, you know, in-season coach, you know, in 2020, and they were 0-5 with the Falcons when he got canned. And his, you know, post Super Bowl, you know, called a hangover, whatever, you know, it was, they never got past that in Atlanta. Clearly never got past it. I mean, the best thing to happen to Kyle Shanahan was him getting a chance to get the hell out of there and not have to be drudged down by the failure in the Super Bowl and go on and have a, well, a failure in the Super Bowl as a head coach, but whatever, you know what I'm saying? But Dan Quinn, the one-year cleanse of Dan Quinn is fascinating because, look, he did a great job with them, no question. Their defense is a different defense. Helps when you get Micah Parsons, right? That doesn't hurt. Getting some other people back healthy didn't hurt either. But the Parsons thing's huge, right? But Dan Quinn was a 43-42 coach, and now he's getting all kinds of interviews. However, I would be much more confident in Dan Quinn as a head coach if I was one of these teams looking for a head coach than I would be in Kellen Moore. That's for damn sure. And if I was Dallas, I would be much more concerned about losing Dan Quinn than I would Kellen Moore. Now, I do have Cowboy friends. I admit it. It's okay. I mean, look, we all have our, you know, we all have charitable things that we're passionate about and help. And I try to help these people. Kids that were, you know, as youths that wanted to rebel against their parents, you know, mom and dad maybe didn't give them the car, so they became Cowboy fans, whatever it may be, right? Like some kids did drugs, some kids drank at a young age. These guys decided to be Cowboy fans. So I have a few Cowboy fans, and I do still talk to them. They were just wearing me out all year. Oh, go to the Super Bowl, you know, whatever. And I didn't, you know, well, I did tell them that it wasn't going to happen, but I'll let them have their time. Look, they earned it, man. They had a hell of a regular season. I mean, they really did. 12-5. It's a hell of a regular season. You know, hell of a regular season. So I didn't want to, you know, rain on their parade, so to speak. So I'll let them have their fun. But they'll tell you, the game where Mike McCarthy had the COVID, right? When McCarthy missed the game, because of COVID, the Cowboys look to be at their best, right? Just saying, you know, it's interesting that the game he missed was the Saints game, I believe, right? It was the Saints game, yeah. It was the Saints game. It was the week after Thanksgiving. They said the Cowboys look their best. Team seems to really respond to Dan Quinn. And again, you know, like wasn't the greatest coaching career in Atlanta after that Super Bowl season. But hey, a lot of guys never have that Super Bowl season, right? Never get there. But he has been impactful there. And that's really all that matters. Like, what do they do in your organization? It doesn't matter that, you know, they gagged the Super Bowl against Bill Belichick. I don't care. They blew that lead. I'm not a Falcons fan. What do I care if I'm a Cowboys fan? Who gives a crap? What did he do here? Well, he turned a terrible defense, a historically terrible defense, into a very good defense, a feared defense. And I think, you know, time will play this out. I mean, Trayvon Diggs, great year in terms of takeaways, also gave up a hell of a lot, right? I mean, I think we could finally all understand that. The Pro Football Focus people want you to understand it because I think they tweet it out like hourly. So he was able to cover up a lot of deficiencies as well. They did, you know, he got the most out of his guys. And if you look at, like, that win they had at New Orleans, you know, people like the, you know, and that was also a game, by the way, Tony Pollard was the team's leading rusher, you know, with Mike McCarthy without the headset, just saying. Now, granted, it was, you know, he got 58 on one run. But still, they made sure he got touches in that game. And they went into New Orleans and won a game they needed to after that, you know, throwing up all over themselves on Thanksgiving. But the penalty thing and the lack of discipline is fascinating to me because you're talking about two, it's both sides of the ball are culprits, right? Defense and offense, right? But yet here's the two, quote, hot candidates, right? You know, out there are guys whose team on the biggest stage looked undisciplined and, you know, and like the moment was too big for them. For three quarters, they were getting their ass handed to them. 49, Jimmy G, look, Jimmy G, he tried. He tried his damnedest to make that a game. He tried. I mean, again, it's a 23-7 game going in the fourth quarter. 23-7, and they kicked a lot of field goals. Now people are mad at Kyle for not going for it on a few of those short yardage plays. I thought, it, you look, take the points on the road, believe in your defense, hope to God your quarterback doesn't throw up over himself. And he did. You know, those kind of things. I get it. I understand where he was coming from in that sense. But And they held on and won. Look, he was the jockey of the winning horse, so he's a winner. Even though it looked kind of scary at times. But it is amazing. The guys who don't get results, like on a high level, are the ones that everybody's so fascinated with some of these jobs. And I'm talking about Moore and Quinn. But again, Quinn is easily more explainable to my fan base. Because, hey, look, he was really good at Atlanta. He turned him around. Look at what he did. You know, turn him around. Players respond to him. Look what he did in Dallas. I could sell that to my team. I don't know how you sell the Kellen Moore thing. I really don't. I don't know how you sell that to a fan base. God bless you if you do it, and good luck. I mean, I want the guy to get an extension. I want them, you know, to sign McCarthy to an extension, I hope Quinn goes. I mean, if you're looking at it from a pure selfish standpoint of somebody who's got a rooting interest in the NFC East, I hope Quinn gets the Vikings job or the Broncos job, one of those teams that appears to be interested in a defensive coach, which I think is smart. One of those teams, I hope they get him. I'd always go with a leadership defensive guy over the offensive guru. Because the problem with guru is if he's not really a guru, then you're kind of screwed. Because you can't change the offense, unless, of course, he's Joe Gibbs, right? Like, Joe Gibbs actually threw his offensive, you know, what made him famous. What got him hired, he threw it out the window and adjusted to his talent in Washington. That's what he did. Whereas a lot of these guys, they get stuck on their system, and like Troy Aikman's talking about, and they can't change. You know, they can't change. I mean, they cannot bend. They can't adjust. I mean, that's all they got. They got the system, and if it works, great. If not, they're screwed. So at least with a defensive coach, he hires offensive coordinators. He can fire offensive coordinators. He can just keep them moving. You know, you just keep moving. Or he could do like Mike Shanahan did and just fire a million defensive coordinators in Denver. And then he got here and he went and fired his defensive coordinator. They couldn't get him to get rid of Haz. Oh, man. Anthony via Twitter, and again, you can tweet me up at Jackson Sports. Anthony says, Cowboy fans have a hell of a regular season. It's a postseason to give them the yips, yeah? And the team prayer, Anthony, makes them very nervous. Raymond Dean says, great hearing you on 980 Airways again. Kevin Shanahan, laughing my butt off. Yeah, that's an old one. Kevin Shanahan, you guys didn't know that one? He loves him. I mean, let me ask you this. How many people do you think get Mike Shanahan on radio besides Kevin? Seriously. I mean, how many people are calling up saying, we got to get Mike Shanahan on? In a city where he had one good season. Seriously. I mean, and then blew the place up on the way out. I'm not absolving Robert Griffin III and the owner. Don't get me wrong. But he made it worse. My favorite part about Mike was the fact that he was, you know, always tells you, I knew Russell Wilson was going to be great. We're going to take Russell Wilson later in the draft. Dude, if you really knew Russell Wilson was going to be Russell Wilson, you would have never traded the freight you did to move up to get the Bob Griffin. Come on. If you knew that, you'd have kept your picks. You stay where you were. You're taking, I don't know, best available defensive guy, maybe take a receiver. Who the hell knows with that first pick? And then you take Russell Wilson on day two. But come on, man. I just couldn't. I just can't. I can't. I know a lot of you love him. I know a lot of you. And I know Kevin. Sorry. I know. And again, he gave you access. So I get it. It talks to you. I've been around people like that in sports. You like them despite their shortcomings because they talk to you. I get it. It happens. We all have our blind spots. No question. Habitual Wide Zipper says, in for Kevin this morning. No, Kevin needs to get those rain totals reported. Yes, indeed. Latest report of the Loco out west here. Just rain. No snow. But my son doesn't give a damn. He's happy to sleep in today. All right, coming up, divisional playoff weekend. Let's get to it. A lot of interesting stuff ahead. Still waiting for the injury reports. That Niners-Packers game, that could be the difference maker. Is one Nick Bosa? No, Joey Bosa. Which Bosa is it? It's Nick Bosa. No, is it Joey Bosa? Going to play this weekend. Nick Bosa going to play this weekend. Joey's in the Chargers. Why am I saying Joey? Sorry, Joey. Your team's out because your coach is a dope. Nick Bosa going to play this weekend. I mean, that's what it's all about. If he plays, they got a chance. If not, they're probably going to get the butt kicked. And does Kyle Shanahan have a Jimmy G-proof game plan? We'll find out. We'll get to that straight ahead in the other playoff action. And Scott Abraham at 8 o'clock talking about his conversation with Ron Rivera here on the Kevin Sheen Show. Minus Kevin here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Yeah. It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. Kevin Sheehan out today. Weather forecasting, counting up the rain totals for us. Scott Jackson here with you. We're going to talk to Scott Abraham. He had a long-form interview with one Ron Rivera just yesterday, or 2 days ago now, I guess. That was interesting stuff came out of it, including that the coach is skipping the Senior Bowl. So we'll talk about that with Scott. Chase Hughes, 840. We'll talk some more Wizards, NBC Sports Washington, Wizards Insider. Tough loss last night to the Nets. Trade deadline 21 days from now. So what will the Wizards do? So we'll get to all that stuff with Chase coming up in the next hour. And, of course, Scott before that. All right. So let's back to some football here. This weekend, the divisional round. Wild card weekend was a bust. Like, super wild card weekend was a bust, right? I think we all can agree. Probably didn't need the extra team. Doesn't matter. They're going to keep doing it. They might add another team, even if the game sucks. They don't care. They're going to make money, man. Come on. It's a money-making business for all the, you know, all the columns and complaining about the weekend that was crappy football. It's not going to stop these guys, okay? Mark Cuban nailed it on the head many, many years ago about pigs and getting slaughtered. But the difference is in the NFL, they're not getting slaughtered. They're just getting richer. So, and yeah, pretty much they don't care, okay? Added a 17th game in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, come on. Do you think they're really concerned about quality here, people? Don't give a shit. I mean, they don't care. So, don't worry about it. It's here to stay. And it might even get bigger. We might be the NBA and the NHL at some point. Who knows? However, this weekend, I do think we have some interesting games and some really good ones, potentially. I like watching the Bengals. They're a lot of fun. The Titans are probably the least spoken about number one seed in the history of the NFL playoffs. I don't know if we just don't like the Titans. I don't know what it is. They're boring. They're in Nashville. I'm not sure. They are a 3.5-point favorite still. They're getting Derrick Henry back, their most important player. As long as he's healthy, and again, it's a foot injury, so you're always kind of like, I don't know. They did, you know, they did kind of go on the side of caution, didn't play him in week 18. They then, of course, you know, have the bye week, so you got to think he's pretty close to, you know, full go. Can the Bengals stop him? Bottom line, can they stop him, and can they protect Joe Burrow? That's where the game's won or lost, both sides of the line of scrimmage for the Bengals. Can they defensively limit Henry, and can they protect Burrow? You know, get out and lead in this game and kind of take away Henry's effectiveness. Now, we'll say this about the Titans, and like a lot of teams, they kind of are stubborn with the run, because they have Derrick Henry, who's a home run hitter, where they can, you know, be down a couple scores and still try to pound you, and it works out for them because they can get explosive plays from him. And it certainly, he's always a threat. And look, Tannehill, you know, again, one of the great reclamation projects of our time at the quarterback position. He can make plays with his legs. He's got, you know, Brown on the outside. It's, hopefully they'll get a better version of Julio Jones than they got in the regular season. He's supposedly healthy now too. So they're dangerous, and I know they're discounted, and the Bengals are fun. I mean, who doesn't like watching Burrow whip it around the yard and Ja'Marr Chase, who couldn't catch a cold in the preseason, and now that the game's count, is, you know, makes every play. So, but that to me is where it's going to be won, though. Can the Bengals protect Burrow, because the Titans will get after you, and can they stop Henry? And if they can do those two things, they can win in Nashville. Nobody's scared of playing in Nashville, by the way. Nobody. No, the Chiefs and the Bills, which is Sunday, the late game, the last game of the weekend, really looks like the AFC Championship. Now, the Bills got the Chiefs at the right time. They kicked their ass in October when the Chiefs were a mess. Their defense is really bad. Pat Mahomes still is doing a lot of goofy stuff, right? I mean, he's still, you know, like the first quarter was terrible against the Steelers. And then, as only Pat Mahomes could do, could play terrible for a half a football and then light you up for 400-plus yards and, you know, put up 40-plus points on you, as he did to the Steelers this past weekend. I mean, they're still really dangerous. I still think they're the team to beat. I know Buffalo beat them again this year. They were up 9-0 last year on the road. Brian Daboll, I thought, called a stupid game last year. There, I said it. You know, was really stuck on, we're going to drop back, you know, we're going to make this a Josh Allen game, and then just drop back. And, you know, they've got to be smarter, especially in the red zone where they weren't very good last year against the Chiefs. Kansas City's defense has been a lot better. Steve Spagnuolo, he tends to get his defenses better as the year goes on, and in the playoffs, by the way, as you know from the Giant days. You know, and I think the Chiefs' D is playing much better. And look, the Bills are much – I mean, the Steelers probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs, honestly. They should, you know, they were not a playoff-caliber team. But they got in there, and, you know, the Chiefs for a quarter, you know, were kind of stunned by them, and then obviously got their act together and destroyed them. And I would suspect you know, the Bills aren't going to run out and destroy the Chiefs like they did the Patriots. I don't think either one of these teams is running away from each other. This could be the best game of the weekend, and I'm glad it's the last game of the weekend. I'm sad that Tony Romo's doing it on CBS, but, you know, you got to live with those things. All right, but anyway, this should be the game of the weekend, Chiefs-Bills. I still like the Chiefs. Maybe I'm stubborn because of my, you know, preseason pick or whatever. But, look, they were – again, Mahomes, he's got to play smarter. I get it. He can't throw the ball, you know, the ball across the field. He's rolling right, tries to throw it across the field, back, you know, behind his back and all the crazy crap he does sometimes, you know, and goof around and give the Chiefs – or give the Bills, excuse me, extra chances on offense. They're, you know, don't put your defense in harm's way. If they do that, I think they're good. I think they're, you know, the McDermott-Andy Reid matchup's kind of underrated, you know. Nobody really talks about Andy Reid's coaching tree, which should be bigger. Maybe it will be after this year. You know, but obviously McDermott, one of his guys, been great with Buffalo. They're a fun team, but they're going to be on the road in Kansas City. I don't think there'll be any adult toys thrown on the field in this one, but you never know. You never know. I mean, Chiefs fans, let's be honest, they could do things that other NFL fans can't. You know what I'm saying, Washington fans? You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? Yeah, them and the Braves. Interesting how those discussions have just kind of gone away. Very fascinating. All right, Sunday night or Saturday night, first NFC one, 49ers Packers, and this is a look. It's fair, all right. I know it's going to be single digits. I know it's legendary Lambeau Field, but Aaron Rodgers has not been good at Lambeau Field in the playoffs. Can we just all admit it and say it? It's okay. Doesn't mean you like Aaron any less. Doesn't mean that he's not, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he has not really taken advantage of the frozen tundra in the postseason. You got to go back to their Super Bowl championship year. They actually won on the road that year as a wild card. So, Aaron Rodgers, can they actually win a home game in the playoffs that matters? They look like they're getting the right team at the right time. As much as, look, the 49ers were hot coming in, I get it. They got momentum. They're physical. That travels. But again, the Nick Bosa, don't confuse him with Joey, as I did earlier. The Nick Bosa injury is huge. Now, they're calling him questionable, and that would mean he would play more than likely. And they're going to have him, but he's got to be effective. And certainly the Packers, you know, they got offensive line issues as well. You know, Bakhtiari has been hurt. He's also questionable. They got a nice 1-2 punch at running back, though, with Jones and Dillon. And if it is against single digits, it's going to hurt the tackle people. Nobody wants to tackle anybody. Nobody wants to tackle Deebo Samuel, period. But in single digits, it probably, you know, even more painful. By the way, Deebo Samuel, almost 50 less receptions, or 40 less, excuse me, 40 less receptions, approximately, than Devontae Adams. Yet, just 148 yards less. Now, Devontae Adams got 11 touchdowns, but in terms of receiving, Samuel is a monster, absolute monster. And look, Kyle Shanahan's got to do something that's not easy. He's got to work around his quarterback. Garoppolo, I'll be honest with you. About 3-4 weeks ago, whatever it was, going to the Titans game, whatever that Thursday nighter was, I was like, what are these people talking about? Jimmy G's been wonderful. That December 23rd game. I'm like, this guy's great. Like, they have a season because of him. Like, he's totally brought them back, you know? If you go back to, you know, them making this run, it's all, you know, Jimmy G's been kicking ass and taking names. What are people talking about? Then that night, you know, he also get an injury that night. I get it. But he just, you know, he gave it and he take it away. Almost took it away in the Rams game, too. You know, they called a come from behind win. Well, I mean, when you throw the interception after you have the lead, It's like a Brett Favre come from behind win, right? I mean, it's one of those self-inflicted come from behind wins. But somehow, some way, Kyle Shanahan's got to figure out how to minimize Jimmy G. And that's not easy to do. And I give them a chance, though. I think the Packers are going to finally actually win at home. It's a Joe Barry defense. I said it. I know it's unfair. I know that's not a nice thing to say, but it's Joe Barry defense. How can I, you know? So he's got a chance, right? I mean, because it's Joe Barry. I mean, come on. They've been good. They've been really good, but it's still Joe Barry. I mean, I can't get that out of my head. So I think they've got a shot, but I can't trust Jimmy G. And look, the Packers should. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can't be that guy, can he? I mean, come on. You know, he's the victim now. Guys, so he has to come through. That evil Hub Arkish. Poor Aaron Rodgers. So they come through. They're going to win at home. Now, next week, I'm not so sure, but they're going to win this week at home. Buccaneers is another one. Buccaneers, Rams, injury report, a lot to do with it. What is the Buccaneers? Here's where the Buccaneers are would have me worried. Or I should say where I'd be worried if I was the Buccaneers about the Rams. Interior pass rush, Tom Brady in his career, when he struggles, when he has problems, it's when he gets, and again, it's a pass rush up the middle. Like, he can slide in the pocket. Like, if you're coming to the outside of your Von Miller, that's one thing. He can slide up and make plays. But if he doesn't have that clean pocket to step up into, this is where Aaron Donald could be the havoc wrecker. That is the problem over the years for one Tom Terrific. We saw it even this year against Washington. It was the interior pass rush. Allen, Payne, Ioannidis getting in his face, getting in his chest. Couldn't step up cleanly. Ball's bad at those kind of things. It's where Tom Terrific isn't so terrific. And the guys on the outside, I mean, this is not even the same team they started the season with, as we all know. They're not the team. I mean, they're not the team that won the Super Bowl. Injuries have had a ton to do with it. You know, obviously the Wirfs injury, you know, certainly a huge one. Coming in this game, Ryan Jensen, again, everybody's being listed as questionable at this point, you know. Everybody's being listed as questionable. And, you know, Farnett is a wait and see, according to Arians, which tells me he's probably not playing. So, again, you're going to have to, you know, use a lot of Giovanni Bernard in this football game. Vaughn, not Rick Vaughn. And, obviously, it's going to be on Tom's arm. And that's why, again, give me Aaron Donald coming up the middle. And I like the Rams' chances. I really do. I think they got a chance to go on the road and knock out the champs. Got to knock out the champs. By the way, Rodriguez H. Ross says, is it true that Tannehill's the highest quarterback draft pick in 2012 class still playing? Yes, it is. You know it is. Now, he's not playing with the team he was drafted by, the Dolphins. But you're right. He is still going. Russell Wilson, of course, from that class, he's at home. Thinking about moving to D.C., but yeah, you're right. Don't we wish? All right, Scott Abraham coming up. We'll talk about his conversation with Ron Rivera. Is it interesting, or is it important, or is it both, maybe, that he's skipping the senior? We'll get Scott's take on that and Chase Hughes in the next hour as well. Scott Jackson in for Kevin Sheehan on the Kevin Sheehan Show as he's adding up the rain totals for you here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.